Hello, welcome to the Candid Cast with Lucky Egede, your favorite coach and host on this platform. We are continuing our studies on financial independence. And you know, we said last week that financial independence is a possibility for everyone, and it is desired actually by everyone, but not all attain it. In our part two, we'll be talking about common financial errors young people make and how to avoid them. Before we continue in this episode, I want you to click the notification button, subscribe to our channel, give us a like, and also share among your loved ones. Thank you for doing this. So, common financial errors young people make and how to avoid them. I've never seen a person who does not desire to be financially independent. You may not want to be on the Forbes list, but you sure desire to be self-sustaining in your health and in your finances. These are two areas that are very important to have independence. Independence in your health and independence in your finances. You want to be able to stand up when you want to stand up, be see what you need to see, go where you want to go unaided. And you also want your finances to run. In that way, you are able to live in a house, maybe have your means of movement and so on, without telling somebody that I am hungry, I want to eat, and I need support. No, I don't think anybody wants to operate at that level. This desire of everyone is achieved by very few. When we look at the number of cars on the road, we think that maybe a lot of people have become very rich, but that is really not the case. You look at the population of Nigeria today, and I'll tell you that the number of people that are financially independent are still too few for our population. You recall at the time, United Nations told us that over 80 million Nigerians are living below poverty level. And even those living above poverty level is not the same as being financially independent. That money may be coming from somewhere, it's not your own earning. But we are talking of you earning your own money and becoming independent so you can spend without the consent of anybody. You are not looking up to anybody for your expenditure. This desire of everyone is what we are going to look at today. How we can get there. We get there by avoiding some errors. We will take them across several weeks, but today let's just major on a few. Like, first of all, you have to spend less than you earn. Spend less than you earn. It looks simple, but you find majority are not within this bracket. You have to track your expenses to be sure you are not overspending. Create a budget, cut unnecessary or avoidable expenses, and channel such incomes to boost your savings or pay bills that are not avoidable. You must avoid all careless spending by sticking to your budget. Know the great difference between your needs and your wants. Big budget items like cars, boats, and some other things can be rented when you have absolute need for them, rather than buying and owning one. It's really not necessary to own some of the things that we choose to own. Save up for whatever is important to you. Borrowing for consumption is a killer to financial independence and financial dream. Don't borrow for consumption. If you borrow for production, to increase your capacity to produce, that's excellent. You just focus on it and make sure that money is used there and is not channeled to any other thing else. When we are talking about people spending less than they earn, there are a lot of things in our society that pressure people to spend above their income. I recall a teacher who told me She has spent more than her salary in 1 month to buy Ashebi because of the number of people doing, number of teachers doing, people are wedding, people are burying their fathers, people burying their mothers, and she needed to buy. She didn't know who to tell no. Because she was buying, she bought 13 Ashebi in 1 month in a big school. That's okay for such a person, but it is not my recommendation on how life should be lived. A person should know when to say no. If you want to take control of your finances, it must start from your mind. That ability to say no to the things you should say no to. Then when it comes to savings, you know, when you spend less than you earn, you will have surplus. That surplus should be saved. Then how do you even generate the surplus? Many of us have the idea that we need to save what is left after spending. That's an illusion. It can never happen. There will be nothing left. And at the end of every income cycle, if you are a salary earner, you say, okay, I take my salary this month. By the end of the month, when they pay the next salary, whatever is left of my previous month's salary, I'll go and save. Nothing will be left by the time they are paying the next salary. So if you must spend less than you earn, put your savings away as soon as you get your income. And there are even processes of putting it away even before you get your income, so it doesn't touch your hand at all. So you live on the rest. Warren Buffett puts it this way: do not try to save what is left after spending, but spend what is left after saving. So saving comes first. If there is anything left after you have saved, then you can now spend. If you are serious and conscious about it, you are strategic about this, you are on the road to financial independence. You must, in this sense, you must pay yourself first. Because when you take your salary, you have what is going to landlord, what is going to food seller, what is going to public power supplier, what is going to transporter, and everybody. And you find that at the end of the day, nothing is coming to you as a worker who did the job. Honor yourself. Pay yourself first. The lesson here is to be consistent with your saving. Save a portion of your income. And that was what Joseph did in Egypt. If you follow that story in the Bible, when famine ravaged the entire world, Joseph did not do any magic. He just told Pharaoh, save up 20%. And he put it exactly this way: Pharaoh should appoint officials to be in charge of the land. They should take a fifth. A fifth is 20% of the harvest in Egypt during the 7 years when there is plenty of food. They should collect all the extra food of the good years that are coming. Pharaoh should give them authority to store up the grain. They should keep it in the cities for food. The grain should be stored up for the country to use later. It will be needed during the 7 years when there isn't enough food in Egypt. Then the country won't be destroyed just because it doesn't have enough food. How does this play out in our days today? I divide our lives into three phases. From 0 to 25, I call it the learning years. When we are with parents, we are with teacher, we are studying. Do all you need to do about learning until you are 25. By the time you are 25, you enter your earning years. It is okay to put so much effort to earn. Between the age of 25 and 50, you are earning. Earn as much as you can. Do everything to earn. Increase your earning. Look for promotions and all that. It is important at that time. After the age of 50, you are beginning to get too weak to run the type of errand that you use to run. Your energy is coming down. That is all you should be thinking about that time, is returning to society. I call those years the returning years. So we have the learning years, the earning years, and the returning years. Years when you should be returning to the society that has invested so much in you over the past 50 years. You now have to invest back in society, give back to society. How do we achieve this? If you have put away 20% of whatever you earn from age 25 to 50, it is not impossible that you will be a lender to nations by the time you are 50. But if it is not planned out, you find at the age of 50, landlord is pushing you from pillar to post because you have not settled out what you needed to sort out. That strategy worked for Joseph in Egypt, and it will work for you even today and for anybody who is interested in attaining financial independence. Number three, we must know the difference between asset and liability. You know, so many of the things that in accounting book are called assets, in financial literacy class, they are liabilities. The way we define for the financially literate, asset is whatever brings money, inflow to me. Liability is whatever creates outflow. Every outflow avenue is a liability. A man takes 10 million naira to buy a second-hand Camry, and he said he has purchased an asset. An accountant will know it as an asset. But for financial literacy, if you are not a taxi driver, that Camry does not bring any money. It takes money from you. Now, for the places where you used to pay 2,000 naira and you get to your destination, you now have to enter petrol station and spend 70,000 naira at once every 2 weeks. That's about 140,000 naira on petrol every month. Then you talk of servicing the car. Maybe once in 2 months, you service the car with at least 60 to 70,000 naira for your car servicing. You have to insure the car. You have to renew your vehicle license. There is roadworthiness and all manner of things that have been introduced to get money from motorists, because a car owner is seen as a big man. You have to start funding the government. So these are expenditures that you will necessarily incur. The same 10 million naira put in mutual funds will yield 2.1 million naira a year, making available to you 175,000 naira every month for your necessary journeys. And I believe if you manage your transportation, your movement well, it is possible you run your movement within 100,000 and you have extra 75,000 naira to reinvest. So the investment in mutual fund is an asset. The investment in the Camry car is a liability in my own reckoning, because nobody who is going by taxi is called to loan a friend a car to go and shine somewhere, or get request of please help me to the bus stop. Those help drop me at the bus stop, drop me and going to, they all have costs that you take on yourself. You are picking bills that are not meant for you because you have created a liability down that will continue to drain you until you take corrections. Number four, you can automate your finances. Set up direct debit on your account. That's why I said earlier that there are ways you can even make savings without the money reaching your hand. You know your salary comes on the 25th of every month. Put a direct debit for midnight on 25th. Once the salary comes, there is an automated process of moving it from salary account into a savings account or an investment account. So automated transfers or savings app to ensure that a portion of every paycheck is directed to your savings before you even have opportunity to see it or determine what to do with it. Like I've always said, if you don't create direction for your money before it is earned, your money will create direction for you, and it is always very dangerous. That's why Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. God speaks and money speaks. If you keep listening to money, it will offer you direction and it will fly away from where God wanted to lead you, and it will always lead to regret. People have gone into drugs because they had money. You have gone into all manner of patronages that will bring no value to them because money was in their hand speaking, and they did not determine beforehand where that money should go. So money will sit and speak to you. I am available. You can have this. Number five, you must learn to build emergency fund. You know, when we say somebody is prosperous or wealthy, the first step towards financial stability is having savings. This means you are better prepared for unexpected expenses, and it reduces the chances of falling into consumption debt. Aim to build up your ability to survive forward. Somebody that is earning 200,000 naira every month, he loses his job. His weight is the number of months he's able to survive forward without altering his standard of living. So if you are earning 200,000 naira and that job is taken away, how many months can you survive without altering your standard of living? The source of income that was given 200 is out, but you have enough reserve to survive forward. That's the emergency fund that we are talking about. You don't need to alter your lifestyle. Then how do we start? You must start small. If you need to even save 5,000, depending on what your income is, the thing is, get started. When you see the returns on it, it will encourage you and it will begin to gain momentum. By the time you see that 5,000 naira you put away is yielding 10 naira every day, you want, okay, if I make it 20,000, what will it yield me per day? You begin to get interested in it. So the key is consistency and automation. Set up your first automated transfer. I encourage you to just do that today. If you have never had any automated transfer from your salary account to your savings or other investment account, then gradually increase it as you get comfortable. One of the things that readily come to mind is when you tell people to save, they will tell you it's very difficult, the money is not even enough, what do you expect me to save? Then during the Babangida regime, the federal government started economic recovery fund, and they said every civil servant should contribute 25% to economic recovery fund. The economy has not recovered since then, and that money they contributed has gone into it, and none of them died. But if you tell them to save 25%, they will tell you it's not possible. If government increases your tax by 25%, you will pay it and you will not die. So why not create that tax on yourself before the government creates it? You will meet it in front. If government creates it for you, you will not meet it anywhere. It is gone and it is gone. So if you are indeed if you are indebted, clear the high interest debt first before facing the low cost credits. This will help you also in managing your fund, increasing what is available, because if you have interest that you are paying, it will reduce your opportunity to make huge savings. If you have debt to pay, be managing the debt to let it ease off while you are also making some minimal savings. As you reduce the debt, savings should increase. It should not increase your consumption. You will find it that you are better off at the end of the day because you did that. This is where we'll stop on the Candid Cast for today. We'll continue this same topic in our subsequent episode with more points on how you can attain your financial independence, because I desire it for each and every one that you get to a point where you can do your things without looking up to anybody. Thank you for staying tuned to the Candid Cast. God bless you.